It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in to Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. I said welcome in twice.
You did,
he
man.
He is Big Joe.
Crazy.
Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is back at the studios. We're live today. Bridgestone Arena. Predators back at home after being gone for oh so long.
They have been gone.
And they will take on the San Jose Sharks tonight. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Just my thoughts are with all everybody stuck in Nashville traffic today because it is it's pretty bad out there. So have your patience. Look, if I don't lose my mind, I know you guys can't lose your mind. So it's good.
You lost your mind a long time ago.
Well, at the corner of McGavick Pike and Lebanon Road, they're working on one of the lights. So they've blocked off one lane of traffic.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, God bless the guys and gals that work in, what do you call that? Public works, right?
Public works, yeah.
So, but they blocked one lane of traffic. So that lane of traffic, if you're coming in from Dawson Hermitage, which is God's country as we know it, it is backed up from McGavick Pike all the way past the Donaldson Y. That's how bad it is. So if you wonder what's going on, you're stuck because you're fixing that red light. But the red light's working, but one light is, you know, it's like that middle child. It's giving you trouble.
And that,
so have your patience when you're coming in.
Yes, indeed. Got a big show planned. Going to hit a lot of different things today. I mentioned the Predators being back in action tonight. Hal Gill will join us at 9:30. There's a big event coming to our city that, for the second year in a row, Misfits Boxing. It's not us. I mean, it very well could be.
It could be, right, Chase?
But we'll talk to Mams Taylor, who is the co-president of Misfits Boxing. We'll do that at 10 o'clock. John McClain usually joins us on Wednesday. He will join today at 10:15. So a packed show, and with that, Joe, you lead us off with our question of the day.
So the tournament de facto starts tonight with the first four, or whatever you want to call it, the play-in, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I started thinking, going back, you know, when the tournament was like 32, then it was 48, then it was 64, now it's 68. In some great moments, I started thinking, gosh, I remember this basketball player, that basketball player. So the question is, who was your favorite college basketball player growing up? Not when you're 25, not when you're 22, but before you're 18 years old. Who was your favorite college basketball player growing up that you just adored? I mean, this person could do no wrong. You loved it, emulated him. And when he went and played basketball at the gym or the church or wherever, your favorite basketball player. Chase, who is your favorite all-time college basketball player?
It was a tough question when you kind of asked me this morning. For me, I really loved watching J.J. Redick play. And I was in high school
okay.
when he was at Duke. I know a lot of people don't like J.J. Redick, but I thought he was so much fun to watch. So.
Heck of a first name he's got there, too, man.
J.J., yeah, that's a good one.
I got two. Mine was, for all Vanderbilt fans, Phil Cox in the early 80s was just fantastic. I mean, he made every shot. You know, this when ESPN was starting to come on. You didn't really see him on TV that much, but you'd watch Saturday and you'd go to actually, people went to Vandy games, Chase, back in the day.
That's what I heard.
So Phil Cox was fantastic. And my 1A for Tennessee basketball fans, you remember this guy, Dyron Nix, man. He had the Jerry curl. He was awesome. He played his tail off. He has passed away. Rest in peace. His daughter played at Lipscomb several years ago. But Dyron Nix, man, he was in Knoxville. And they didn't get to the tournament. I mean, they weren't a good basketball team under Don DeVoe for many, many years. But I loved watching Dyron Nix, man. He was great. And then they had Fred Jenkins from Columbia was on that team and Tony White. I mean, that was some of my favorite basketball players growing up. But we want to hear who your favorite college basketball player is growing up. And it could be anybody because there were some amazing players back in the day.
But you had to have watched them on TV or seen them play.
Yeah, before you were 18. I mean, you would go – I mean, I would go to the gym and try to rebound like Dyron Nix. That was terrible. Did you hurt your neck or something?
Yeah, I did actually.
You okay?
No, it hurts.
What'd you do, man?
I slept funny, and once again, I have...
Oh, what were you watching? It made you laugh. I was curious about that.
No, I don't know. Something in my neck and shoulder, so it does not feel good.
Isn't that a kid's song? Your mom's a great... Wasn't she a preschool teacher, right?
So yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, neck, shoulder.
Head, shoulders, knees. Yeah. That's what you're trying to do. So, yeah, I'm in a little pain this morning.
Okay.
That's okay.
All right, man. That's all right, buddy. You worked through it.
It's fine. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your favorite basketball player growing up before you were the age of 18. I know, like, there are several that I wish I had seen play when I was a kid. Like, I would have loved to have seen Pistol Pete
right.
play at LSU, obviously way before my time. But You know, there's a few. You know, Grant Hill was at Duke when I was growing up. He was always fun. I wasn't really a Duke fan, but I've named two Duke players.
Well, hell, they were made the Final Four, the Elite Eight, or something every single year, so they were on TV all the time. Josh in Nashville says my favorite basketball player would be Jamal Mashburn
or
Travis Ford. Remember Travis Ford, I think, went to Missouri, transferred in, was on that 93 team that made the Final Four, and Jamal Mashburn. Jamal Mashburn was fantastic as well. And then we got 2174. Here come the Indiana fans. Calbert Chaney, Joey in Fairview. Calbert Chaney was a beast in college, an absolute beast in college as well. I think he might be coaching at IU or doing something with the program up there.
Yeah. Tony Delk was fun when he was at Kentucky.
That's right. Tennessee boy too, yep. Man.
That's always a good one.
Yeah.
So I bet we'll get a variety of answers.
We better get a variety, man. Our listeners are fantastic. A few more that are rolling in here. 615-737-1025.
By the way, our friend Buckethead's begging for the Carl Lewis anthem when we play the national anthem.
Mike.
Uh-oh.
One day. Yeah. Josh says, mine was Chris Webber from Michigan. I was 8 years old when he played. I loved watching the Fab Five, but Webber stood out to me. I was so heartbroken when he called the timeout.
I was about to say, do you call timeouts at bad times?
In the championship game. By the way, that team never existed.
No, they did not.
It took the banners.
That is one of my favorite. I don't even think it's a 30 for 30, but it's kind of the same ilk. But that's one of my favorite ESPN documentaries of all time, the Fab Five.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
So well
can you done. Name all five?
I
don't think I can.
Probably not. Chris Webber.
Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard, who just got fired. Yeah, that's.
Who's on TV? Please help us out
Chris
here.
Chris Webber's on TV.
No, he's on TNT.
Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose, that's three. Jimmy, where are you, Willie Donick, when we need you?
People are yelling at us right now.
So. Right? It's
Jimmy
this
Jackson,
guy.
When they're Juwan Howard, Jimmy King.
Jimmy King, there
and
we
Ray
go.
Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look at 1978 on the text line. You can say that name. That's fine.
Ron Slay?
Yeah. He was a hell of a basketball player. Ron Slay was fantastic in college. Player of the year, too, as well. So, yeah. I like what he put in there.
He did. It whispers the name of a competitor. I don't care.
Ron
Slay is very good at what he does.
We love Ron.
Did a great job on SEC Network.
Yes.
During the SEC tournament.
So. Brought some energy to him as well there. So, we'll continue that throughout the show. Your favorite college basketball player of all time. Chase has J.J. Redick.
Yep.
And I got Phil Cox and Dyron Nix, Vanderbilt, just because I saw him in person and you see him on TV, but also when you go and see him in person, we're fantastic.
What do you think about this one? 1545 says Rex Chapman. I was 8 when he was a freshman at UK. The first time I went to Rupp was the last second jumper to beat Ole Miss. I believe it was in 1987. By the way, check out his new book. Great read.
Yeah, Rex is fantastic. I saw him when I was at Sanford. Kentucky played in the first round down in Birmingham. And that's when I really understood how passionate Kentucky basketball fans were because so many showed up for the practice. This was 1988. And, of course, then Rex went to the pros the next year. But, yeah, he was fantastic. Not so good as an announcer, but he was great, my goodness, in college. And that was – I mean, we'll get like Jack Gibbons and Kyle Macy, those guys that, you know, the Goose, you know, blistered Duke in 78 to win the national championship for Kentucky. But there is no wrong answer with this. I'll be interested. We got John McClain at 10:15. I'll ask John about being in Houston in the mid-'80s with Slamajama and those guys. I mean, that's when – it was must – college basketball was must-watch TV. We watched the Big East. SEC was terrible, but we didn't care. Houston was rolling. Oklahoma was good. Kansas with Danny Manning was fantastic. Syracuse was amazing. Indiana, all these teams.
Another one, Scott says, my favorite was Will Perdue, probably the only person in the world that started watching the Bulls in the NBA because of Perdue and not Jordan. Honorary Boo Mitchell and Scott Drowd.
Scott Drought, that's a Vandy fan. Scott Drought had the all-time second best hair. He had the curls. He had like a Kentucky mullet that went down. But Scott Drought could hit 40-footers like nobody else, man.
Let's go to the phones. George wants to weigh in on our question of the day. Favorite college basketball player growing up. George, what's up?
Well, I got to say Larry Bird at Indiana State. He was just unbelievable.
I mean, you can't go wrong with the Birdman.
George, you remember where Larry Bird started college?
I don't remember the exact year, but I was about the same age. I'm still the same age.
He went to Indiana, and he couldn't get along with Bobby
State.
Knight.
Indiana State. He didn't go to Indiana.
No, he was going to go to Indiana. Him and Bob Knight got into it, and then he ended up in Indiana State.
I did not know that. I don't remember that. Maybe I knew it at one time. But anyway, awesome.
Thanks for the call,
thanks,
George.
Thanks, George. I thought that might have been. Now, hold on a second.
Yeah, I know.
I know Richard Schmidt, and I know CM Newton back in the day.
So keep these coming. We'll get back to these as we go along throughout the show. 615-737-1025. Predators back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena. That's why we are here. We'll have much more coming here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 1025, 106.3 The Game. On a trip,
ain't no seats. Yeah. All we got,
hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan. Tomorrow night, Vanderbilt women's basketball. They're going dancing. They'll take on Columbia in the women's NCAA tournament. Pregame at 7:45 with the tip-off at 8. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin live today, Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight against the San Jose Sharks. Max Herz will have pregame for you at 6. We'll be joined by Hal Gill coming up in just a few minutes. Keep it coming on the text line. Our question of the day, your favorite college basketball player growing up, basically somebody you watched before you turned 18.
Yeah, yep.
And we'll get to more of those answers in a second. But I know how much you love mock drafts.
I only pay attention to one.
Well, this is the one then. Mel Kiper Jr. has his post-free agency mock draft. And to be honest with you, it's about as chalk as you can get when I look at it. It means it's just like if you fill out a bracket and it's chalk, you're basically having all the – you know, the top seeds win.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, I learned something new every day. Thank you, buddy.
So, real quick, what he has is Caleb Williams to Chicago. All right, we know that. Jaden Daniels to Washington. Drake May to New England. I think that could go either way.
Okay.
With those two. Then there's a run on receivers. Arizona goes Marvin Harrison Jr. Chargers go Malik Nabers. Giants go Rome Odunze. Then we get to the Titans at 7. Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
Okay, yeah, right. No surprise.
Nobody's going to bat an eye at that.
Give me the two behind those.
8 and 9?
Yeah.
Atlanta takes Dallas Turner, the outside linebacker from Alabama. The Bears at 9, Jared Verse, defensive end from Florida State.
Okay.
And then 10 to New York Jets, Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia.
Oh, he's moved up big time, according to Mel Kiper.
Now, here's where it's interesting. 11 and 12, Minnesota and Denver. Minnesota takes J.J. McCarthy from Michigan.
What is the love with him?
And Denver takes Bo Nix from Oregon.
Okay. Sean Payton, Bo Nix.
That's intriguing.
After Roddy White tossed Sean Payton under the bus the other day about how he's – this is Drew Brees. Since Drew Brees is gone, how Sean Payton has just been an average NFL – and look, somebody tweeted the other day is like, Belichick and Mahomes, they're nothing without Brady and Belichick and Andy Reid – are nothing without Brady and Mahomes. I'm like, well, no kidding.
I don't know. Andy Reid was pretty good before. Like, Bill Belichick didn't take Cleveland to the AFC Championship, and Andy Reid did take Philadelphia to 5 AFC Championship games.
Well, I mean, Bill Walsh was nothing without Joe Montana, Chuck Nolan. I mean, we could play this game all day long. Fact is, you draft a good quarterback, you put pieces around him, you're going to win games. It's evident throughout the history of the National Football League.
And if one of you texts and says, well, Andy Reid had Donovan McNabb, that means you're comparing Donovan McNabb to Patrick Mahomes and you're on something.
Right. But prime example of a good quarterback surrounded by bad talent, Archie Manning.
Yeah.
Awful talent around. Great quarterback at Ole Miss.
He played on some terrible teams. The Saints.
Awful. Vikings for 1 year.
Vikings, I mean, the Oilers.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. So, I just don't get the J.J. McCarthy. Am I missing something
I don't either.
Here?
And so what's interesting to me is for the Titans, because I would love a scenario where the Titans move back a little bit. Now, I'd love Joe Alt, but if they can get more draft capital because it's so important with all the holes they have to fill, if they were to move back to, you know, 11, I don't think that's the end of the world. But it all depends on – is there a quarterback that, like, J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, like, is there a team that's infatuated with them that, and they're not Minnesota, that doesn't think they could last to 11?
And then move up? I mean, yeah.
Here's the wild card.
Okay.
Here's the wild card in this.
The Giants.
The Giants are 100% the wild card. Like, Rome Odunze would be a great pick for them, but if they truly don't believe in Daniel Jones and they think that J.J. McCarthy's it, then if I'm Minnesota, then I'm scared.
Okay. So, but I don't think the Giants are going to take Joe Alt. I just don't think they're going to take him. I think he falls to that 7. Go ahead and take him. And all this, you know, we're going to push back draft cap. Right. Look, man, get your number one guy. Get him when he's there at 7 and move forward. And if you can gollop other picks, that's fine. But don't worry about that right now.
I think if the teams to worry about taking Joe Alt before the Titans – would probably be the Chargers.
Yeah.
But they need a receiver because they got rid of everybody.
So, all right, so have scenarios. I mean, that's what your draft war room does, have these different scenarios that, all right, Chargers at 5 take Alt. What are we going to do at 7? Take the big boy out of Penn State. Do we do that? What if he goes at 6?
Well, here's what's interesting about this mock. He actually has 13, the Raiders, taking J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama, and then he has Fashanu out of Penn State going to the Saints at 14. So he has Latham before Fashanu.
Oh, he's a right tackle, though, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't think the Raiders take it. I think the Raiders are going to try to make the biggest splash they can. To me,
the Raiders are a team that can move up.
They're the wild card because it's Vegas. It's Pierce's first full year. They're trying to make a splash. They know that they've got some talent there and to move up and see what they can do with that.
If the Raiders called Rand Carthon to try and go to from 13 to 7, that could be interesting. Because they need a quarterback.
Yeah, give me your second. Give me your second round pick in this draft.
Second round pick or a third.
Give me second. Yeah. You want to move up? I got what you want. What are you going to give me? Move up. Now I'll drop back to 13.
You're swapping first, and I almost want next year's first.
Then you take. They won't give that up, though. Yeah. So if you take, all right, so you drop back to 13, then you look at, I don't know, Arizona. Say, I'll give you 13 and my second to let us have number 4 and move up to 4. I mean, you see the movie Kevin Costner, Draft Day, whatever it was?
It's a terribly great movie.
That's a great way to put that. But it's fun watching.
You pancake-eating mother.
Yeah. Calling everybody how it were. I mean, it's really an awful movie that I watch every single time it comes on.
So I have a newfound respect for Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network.
Yeah.
I randomly – like, I pulled his profile up one day looking to see if, you know, news had broken in. I read his profile, and let me pull it up, because he mentions the movie Draft Day, and it made me laugh.
Is he in it?
Yeah. It says, made 7 cameos in the movie Draft Day. I mean, like, it's got some good parts in it of, like, okay, why didn't they go to his birthday party, like, that whole thing. Like, they're all trying to figure that out. Of why they didn't go to this guy's birthday party. Does that mean his teammates don't like him and all that stuff, you know? But it's just so bad because it's so unrealistic.
It is, but it's kind of cool in the way that you see – you hope the back door meetings go and all the phone calls and things that happen. And it's just – it feels like they made that movie in like 2 weeks. Like, hey, you got 2 weeks on you? Let's shoot a movie and go from there and do that. And but, so – Draft Day.
you know who was great to ask about that movie was Floyd.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because he just shot holes in all of it.
all of that stuff.
I want my picks back. Now I gotta go watch that.
Yeah, who did he end up taking? The linebacker, right? They didn't take the quarterback from Wisconsin. This is terrible radio. We apologize. We apologize, folks.
Well, they ended up basically taking, because remember, he got his original pick back.
Right.
So they ended up taking everybody they were going to take anyway.
True, except the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who did he go to Seattle? Is that where he went?
Yeah, somewhere? Maybe. I don't remember. Yeah. Chadwick Boseman's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a good cast.
Look at
Jennifer
us.
Garner.
Now we're rooting for this movie to go, yeah, watch it. And then Dennis Leary is the coach, which to me was kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
But
that's
still,
right. He was the coach.
Yeah. It's still, it was, I don't know, it's something fun
Terry
to watch.
Terry Crews is in it.
Yeah, he plays the dad, right?
Yeah.
Of the draft choice.
Okay, these are – you talk about the Chasing Big Joe rabbit holes. This is a Chasing Big Joe rabbit hole, the movie Draft Day.
2014, right? So it's 10 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Draft Day 2 coming this
year. If any general manager references they've watched Draft Day to get ready for the draft, stop following your favorite team. Some random
GM. So if Rand Carthon's like my favorite movie's Draft Day.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
A couple of answers to our question of the day, which is your favorite college basketball player growing up before you were the age of 18. 9756 says Big E, Elvin Hayes. 3332, Jason Williams gets one in there. Oh, this is a good one. 0731, Jimmer Fredette from Chris. Jimmer Fredette had a big following for a while.
He did.
You remember him?
Was he the one that was played dirty? Who's the Duke player that played dirty?
Yeah, Jimmer wasn't Duke.
Where'd he go?
Jimmer was it BYU?
Grayson.
Was it? Yeah, great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, played that people couldn't stand.
Yeah. Now this is driving me crazy. Jimmer Fredette most recently played for the Shanghai Sharks of the Chinese Basketball Association. Yeah, BYU.
Kevin says, Duke sucks. Go UNC. My favorite, of course, is MJ. And 10 years later, Eric Montrose. Kevin in Florida. Eric Montrose passed away, correct? I think he did.
I don't know.
I think he did.
Got to vote for Dale Ellis.
Heck yeah, man.
There you go.
But Dale Ellis was, this was before the three-point line, and he was making shots from the library and from the lap, all the good bars up on Cumberland Avenue. I mean, Dale Ellis was fantastic before the three-point shot, which changed the game in so many ways.
Jeff says Kyle Macy and Dirk Minifield at Kentucky.
Dirk Minifield, yeah. Minifield. Two guards. That's right. Kyle Macy was fantastic. And was Macy on the 78 national championship team? I think am I the right guy. Him and Goose Givens were on that team together. Goose torched Duke for 44 in that game.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
Keep them coming, Chaser.
Yeah, we'll get back to these. We'll talk to Hal Gill coming up next. Predators in action tonight against San Jose. It's Chasing Big Joe Show presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. We're at Bridgestone Arena today, but our man Dr. Crane's back at the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Predators return home tonight to take on the San Jose Sharks and look to extend their point streak to 15 games. We say hello now to analyst Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, who is with us. Skillsy, welcome home. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me back. I didn't know if that trip would ever end. Only two games, but it took forever.
I know. Well, yeah, I guess for you guys it was not as bad. But the Predators come back riding a 14-game point streak. I don't know how many point streaks you went on in your career with teams, but what is the conversation like if you're in a situation like this? Do you acknowledge it? You just keep taking it one game at a time, kind of doing your business? You know, do you get caught up in trap games and all that stuff? How do you navigate those waters?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I asked Ryan McDonough about it in the postgame after the Seattle win, and it's interesting because, you know, I had been on those heaters, and you kind of look around and it's kind of a funny calm that you have on the bench where you're like, guys, don't worry about it. We're going to win this game. And it was a close game, a one goal game for two periods. And then I've been there and McDonough said the same thing. There's a confidence that you have that you're just going to keep winning. And so you count on the guy next to you, and it's a special thing when you have everyone kind of clicking, and they're not winning games with one guy. You know, it's not like they're all sitting on the bench going, I hope Forsberg scores a goal here. That would help. It's like, no, we're all doing this. Someone's going to get a goal. So let's just keep playing. And that's a special, a rare air to be in the NHL. Cause we all know it's not easy winning every night, but they seem to have that swagger and that confidence. And I don't know why they would stop.
Hal, when is Roman Josi going to figure it out? I mean, 68 games, 67 points. He had a two-goal night the other night. What is going on with Josi? I mean, everybody's asked that all year long.
Adjusting to Bruno's system has been tough for him, obviously. Yeah. No, I think that was the conversations early in the season where it was like, okay, he's playing really well, but he's just not getting the numbers. Well, whatever it is, he's figured it out. And, you know, he's awesome right now. You know what? Weird. just talking about it the other day, and he seems like he's doing everything, right? It's not just that he's getting up and you know, scoring goals and getting assists. He's playing great defense. He's kind of done everything, whether he has to block a shot or, you know, there's some injuries now that he's kind of had to step up his defensive game. But I feel like when you're a leader of a team, you're looking for that timely goal, and he's that guy, you know, like he kind of took over that game and got the power play goal in Seattle and then adds the big one-time heater that, you know, I always said, I can do that. I can give you a one-timer from the blue line. But for whatever reason, Roman Josi finds a way to score goals and big ones when he does that. And it's just like a special feeling he has for the game. When the team needs him, he steps up.
We're talking to Hal Gill this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show. Hal, all right, San Jose comes in here. They're playing awful. It's the last game of the road trip, yada, yada, yada. What do you want? I loved your answer last week about what the Preds need to do in the first 10 minutes versus Winnipeg. What does this team need to do tonight in the first 10 minutes against a San Jose team that probably wants to go home?
Yeah, I'm guessing, yeah, they would. This is a long season for these guys, but they're young and they're trying to make a name for themselves. So I think, again, they're going to go for it, right? I mean, they're not going to go out and just and roll over and die. They want to prove themselves every night. And these young guys want to say, I want to be part of this rebuild and I want to be someone that the teams want. And so they're going to battle and compete for the Preds. I really think they got to get the crowd into this. I think they've established that, you know, after that 5-game road trip where they played so well, they came back and there was a little nervousness about coming back home. Are they going to change their game? And they hadn't had success at home. I really think they need to continue to build on the good stuff that they did coming off that road trip. They had a road mentality. They went out and competed. The crowd got behind them. And then they started feeding off each other. And that's when you do damage at home, is when the crowd picks you up when you're down. And when the crowd is down, you go out and do something to pick them up. So I think first 5 minutes, they got to come out and say, hey, this is our building. We're for real. You can't go out there and just kind of think, hey, we're going to have a pretty game. They kind of need to keep that road mentality with four lines clicking, everyone jumping over the boards and go and attack this team and let them know that, hey, we're for real and we're at home and it's not going to be possible to beat us tonight. Set that mindset early.
How is it, you know, not to fall into the trap of a San Jose where they got nothing to play for, guys are probably try to fight you when the puck stops, this and that. Is that a problem, falling into that trap of a team that really has nothing to play for?
Yeah. Well, they're going to take chances. If you are a team, you know, there's a bunch of kids over there that are like, if I can, you know, we might lose 5-4, but if I get my points, then, you know, that's what I'm looking to do. And I want to, so they take chances. And there's some kids on that other team that are going to cheat and they're going to take a chance here or there. You got to capitalize on that. You can't get taken advantage of it. You can't think, I'll jump on it and you can't cheat with them, you know, that you can't get into that run and gun and sloppy game. But I think the Preds have been really honest with four lines rolling and four lines, not only rolling, but back checking and back pressure and playing responsibly defensively. And that's, I think, a big part of their success that, you know, if you're not cheating and you're not cutting corners and you don't have guys logging big minutes, everyone's going over and doing that. I think you can nip that in the bud. So when these guys do take chances, you're backing each other up on it.
Hal, I've driven Chase crazy over the years. I always tell Chase that the most important game on a schedule is the next one, right? So the most important game for the Predators is San Jose tonight. But some Preds fans I'm reading like, yeah, but Thursday, we'll see how good this team is. They take on Florida. If you're Andrew Burnett, how do you get the guys to focus on tonight only and not worry about Thursday night when you travel to Florida?
Yeah, if it's me, I'm looking at it as like, guys, we played some great hockey, and we have a chance to make history, and we have a chance to keep the streak going. What a shame it would be to skip through San Jose and lay an egg in this one and not have a chance to go against one of, I think, maybe the best team in the NHL right now in the Panthers, and not have a chance to keep that streak going against the best. And so I think if you want to get up there and say, hey, we're going to make history, we're going to be the best, and then we're going to beat the best, I think you got to focus on this one. And it gets to be easy this time of year where you say, you know, every game is a new challenge, because especially when you have this streak going, where you say, don't mess it up, boys. Don't change what we're doing, because I think they all know it's a fine line. All it takes is one or two guys to cheat here, one or two guys to take a shortcut here. Their work ethic has been amazing and probably the reason why they've gotten where they are right now. Don't let it slip for one game and then say, okay, now we have to get back and find our form against the best. Keep that form and keep it going.
Hal Gill is with us, presented by Duncan. This will be Mikael Granlund's first game back in Smashville since he was traded last year. He's by far the best player. By far the best player with San Jose. What did he mean during his time here?
You know what? I think a lot of times he set that work ethic. He was, you know, you talk to every guy about him, and that's where you get a full, you know, ask the teammates about him. Don't ask the media. Don't ask coaches. Don't ask anyone. Ask your teammates, and every one of his teammates said he's just a horse. He gets over the boards, and he grinds in the corners. He grinds to the net. He makes plays. He does whatever you need, whether it's kill a penalty or power play presence. You know, Granny is kind of that guy that was going to bring it every shift. And I think that was something that I think the Preds fans should remember tonight when, you know, I hope we show him the proper appreciation, because he was a big part of the team for a while and worked hard every time he jumped over the boards. And that's really all you can ask for. He put up some big numbers. He was a big reason why, you know, Duchesne and Forsberg had big numbers, is because he was out there tossing apples. Granny Apples was all over the place.
Yes, he was. Hal, appreciate the time. As always, we'll see you tonight.
Sounds good. Enjoy the game.
Absolutely. Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, joins us every Tuesday at 9:30. We'll get back to your texts and calls on our question of the day. Favorite basketball, college basketball player before you were 18? Of all time. 615-737-1025. The teams have been selected, so go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your bracket to compete. 102.5 The Game Bracket Challenge, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Chasing Big Joe live at Bridgestone Arena, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Predators and Sharks tonight. They did recall Mark Delgazzo, defenseman, yesterday from Milwaukee, so we'll see if he's in action tonight when they suit up. But asking our question of the day, Joe.
Yeah, so with the tournament kind of starting tonight with the playing games or the first four, whatever you call it, we want to know who your favorite all-time college basketball player is before you turned 18. So not when you're 37 and you're trying to get an autograph from these kids. But no, before you turned 18, mine was Phil Cox at Vanderbilt, Dyer Nix at Tennessee. Yours was?
J.J. Redick at Duke.
J.J. Redick at Duke. A lot have rolled in here. We'll get to some of these. Please, 615-737-1025.
I got a few here.
Yeah.
Ron says, my favorite player was Rain Man Sean Kemp. No college, but Concord High School.
Yeah, Sean Kemp tried to play at Kentucky, but that didn't work out too well for him.
It didn't. Matthew in Nashville. Here's a good one. Candace Parker.
Fantastic.
And Chris Lofton.
Oh, my gosh. Chris Lofton really, when Bruce Pearl showed up, really excelled under that Bruce Pearl offense. And Chris Lofton was honored here this weekend as a Tennessee basketball legend. Well-deserved.
You know who else I liked from those teams? Remember Wayne Chisholm?
Yeah.
Wore the white headband,
yep,
too. I loved him.
He was the 2010 team that was really good with Wayne Chisholm. And I thought you'd be a big Stephen Pearl fan.
I did see Stephen Pearl play.
That's right.
In mop-up duty.
He did. He played. Now he's enjoying the riding on the coaching staff of at Auburn.
Jameson says, as a Southern Indiana kid in the late 80s, early 90s, Calbert Chaney and Damon Bailey were my favorites. I grew up down the road from French Lick and Larry Bird, but I was born in 83, so I missed his run at Indiana State.
Yeah, Calbert Chaney. That's like the third one that's waiting on Calbert Chaney. He was amazing in Indiana. Damon Bailey, I think he made the cover of SI in high school and did that. Of course, you know, Steve Alford was kind of in that same kind of vein, kind of player like that.
Jason wants to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason, what's up? Hello, Jason.
Jason, don't do this to us. He did it.
Jason?
Nope, not there anymore. I thought he fell asleep on us. Not like Cliff.
Cliff's still snoring.
Bud says Billy McCaffrey.
Ah, Billy McCaffrey was great at Duke. They came here and he led Vanderbilt to the did they win the NIT with him in 94?
I think so.
Four?
Yeah, he and Willie are buddies.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, Chris says Tyus Edney, UCLA point guard, led them to a championship, had the full court drive to the hoop, beat Mizzou at the buzzer,
that's
I think
right.
It was.
95.
The O'Bannon brothers were on that UCLA team, too.
Boo. Yeah, they beat I remember that 95 team beat Arkansas. That's right. Big Country was playing for Oklahoma State. They made the Final Four back then in 95. That was a heck of a team for them. Yeah. I was looking at this Final Four. This is a great Final Four. We'll talk more Final Four, of course, when we get to the Final Four. But in 84, the Final Four teams were Georgetown, Houston, Kentucky, and Virginia. Georgetown had Pat Ewing. Houston had Akeem. Kentucky had, Winston Bennett was fantastic. And Virginia had Ralph Sampson. I mean, that's nice. When guys stayed 3 or 4 years and were just unbelievable. You'll never see that again. And that was the only title they went. Georgetown won during Pat Ewing's 4 years. They went to the Final Four 3 of the 4 years he was there. And I mean, it was fantastic watching Pat Ewing grow up and see him on TV, on ESPN on Monday night, playing Syracuse and Pearl Washington and Ronnie Cicely and Derek Coleman and all those teams. That was a lot of fun back then.
2839 has a local one. Fly Williams, Austin Peay. Flies open, go pee.
That's right. Great player.
I do know about him from the 70s. All right, a lot of phone calls. Let's run through these. James leads us off on his favorite college basketball player. James, what's up?
Yeah, you know, pro-wise as a kid, I was a big a Worthy and Magic fan. But being a lifetime Vol fan and growing up in a household that just bled orange, I'd have to say before the age of 18, in my junior high years, it had to be Dale Ellis. Now, I'll grant it, Dale Ellis had the personality of a dial tone. Let me tell you, he just was not very personable, okay? But he was a great ball player, and his games – I never, you know, again, I was in 7th, 8th grade. I enjoyed watching him play with Tony White and that Jenkins kid from Columbia. That was really good ball teams that just constantly under Don DeVoe, underachieved, you know. But as an adult, I'd have to say Chris Lofton, but Dale Ellis was special. And he went on, who would ever think that he would have almost a 20-year career in the NFL? So my vote is for Dale Ellis as before 18.
All right. Thanks, James.
James, thank you. And remember, that was before the three-point line, and he played in the NBA, not the NFL, because if he played in the NFL for that long, he's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Thank you, James, for that. That was a good call. Thank you.
Judy wants to weigh in, favorite college basketball player. What's up, Judy?
Hey, it's got to be Clyde Lee. I'm a native Nashvilleian. Watched him in high school, watched him at Vandy, watched him at Golden State. He's still the only superstar that's from Vanderbilt that's done well in the pros, so it's got to be Clyde Lee.
Judy, that's a great phone call. I was not around for Clyde Lee, but I remember I go to Mike Organ's NIL page on Facebook. You can see all the great things with Clyde Lee there. He was unbelievable. I mean, he was 20 years ahead of his time, so that's a good call. Thank you.
Daryl wants to weigh in. My guess is if this is the same Daryl, it's going to be a South Carolina player. Daryl, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Actually, it's not a South Carolina player. I'm a lifelong Larry Bird Celtics fan, but he's not even my favorite because I was a little bit too young to watch him in college. My brother went to Virginia Tech and spent 4 years up there, and I used to travel up to sometimes the weekends to watch Tech play. That was during the Charlie Moyer Metro Conference days with Dale Curry. And I can see real easy. I watched Dale many times in college, and I can see where it's easy to see where Seth Curry got his sweet shot at. And Dale could bomb with the best of them. And I'd have to say Dale Curry from just early childhood, but I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, right, Daryl.
Daryl, thank you. You brought up the old Metro Conference, which was fantastic back in the day with Memphis State and Louisville and Southern Miss. And so remember Southern Miss had Clarence Witherspoon, was a fantastic player down there. And Virginia Tech was part of that. Florida State was part of the Metro Conference. But, yeah, Dell Curry was fantastic at Virginia Tech. Fantastic.
Our phone lines are blowing up there, JoJo.
Keep them coming.
Let's go to Joe.
Hey.
Joe wants to weigh in, not you. Different Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, I just want to let you know, I went to school with Reggie Lewis in the 80s. And let me tell you, what a tragic story. He was awesome. And, you know, the whole thing with the cocaine and whatnot was terrible. But he was one of the best players in the 80s in college basketball, I think.
Was that Northeastern?
Yes, sir. The Northeastern Huskies.
Yeah, that was a tragic. He was a heck of a player. You know, overshadowed because of obviously playing with the Celtics and who he was on. But, yeah, man, that must have been crazy going to college with somebody that talented and see him every day.
Well, I'll tell you, I used to run. I was part of the arena, the Matthews Arena where he played. I was in charge of the bull gang, if you will, in and out with the rink and in the hoops. So it was during the Jim Calhoun years as well.
Ooh.
You know, wow. That it's probably putting a little bit of a thinker on how old I am now. But
right.
That's the way it goes.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, appreciate it. Appreciate it. We're going to run through these real fast. Nick, favorite college basketball player. Go ahead.
Are you talking to me, Joe?
They're talking to you. This is Chase.
Chase. It's Nick Barron's calling. It's a tie for me between Magic Johnson and Danny Ainge. I grew up in Eugene, Oregon. I played at South Eugene. Danny Ainge played at North Eugene. Went on to BYU, where you'll remember he had that incredible play, if you can remember that far, in the NCAA tournament. Take out Notre Dame. Danny Ainge, my favorite player.
Danny Ainge is a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Miss you, buddy.
Hey, good talking to you guys. Chase,
hey,
Joe.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
Yeah, heck of a play.
Old Mick Barris.
Oh, yeah, we love you, Mickey. Thanks, Mick.
Will wants to weigh in. Will, what's up?
Yes, hey, can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, perfect. So I'm actually from upstate New York. Went to college at Syracuse, so Jerry McNamara. I remember the days of when he got called overrated with Jim Boeheim, went out and won the Big East tournament that year. Had a couple game winners. That's the only way we even got into the tournament that year.
Wow, that's a great call. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. Yes, I love walking down memory lane. We'll revisit this at 10:30.
We will get back to this at 10:30. Don't worry. After John McClain, or 10:45. After John McClain joins us. Coming up next, we'll tell you about a cool event coming to our city with Misfits Boxing. That's all next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.